What was a love story like before sin entered the world? How did sin affect the male-female relationship? Welcome to The Good Word. We continue our series on glimpses of our God, and today we're going to talk about love stories. My conversation partners are two members of the Walla Walla School of Theology, Strago Stefanovic, Old Testament, Paul Dibdahl, Missions, both happily married with children. So
therefore qualified, is that what you're suggesting?
That's right. Okay. You know something about love stories, but you only know love stories about that come after sin.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, but Strafko, you were saying that we've been a bit sober in these things, so you wanted to loosen things up a bit. So this is your chance.
What was a love story like before sin entered the world? How did sin affect the male-female relationship? I would like to suggest that it was rather simple before sin. Adam would ask Eve, "Do you love me?" And she answered, "Who else?" So in some ways, it was simpler than it is today. Uh-huh. The world has become much more complicated after the entrance of sin into the world.
Well, that little story solves all our problems.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about, you know, as getting access, because all the love stories in the Bible except Adam and Eve come after sin.
Yeah.
And all we can do is imagine what it was like beforehand. And it was relatively simple. There was only one man, one woman. But afterwards, what are some of the famous love stories in the Bible? Let's just tick those off, and then we'll focus on a couple, three here for our conversation. What's your favorite love story, Paul, in the Bible?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you think about that.
Okay,
Strafko,
okay.
What's yours?
Solomon and his Shunammite country girl lover.
Song of Solomon.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's
probably one of his wives.
Probably one of his wives. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
One
An
of his wives.
Extended celebration of love. Well, one of his, yes, and also a proof that indeed the man did experience true love with one person. Countryside,
countryside,
good setting.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Country Song of Solomon, that wins. Paul?
I'm still struggling to come up with a favorite one. And obviously, we would tend to think of the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. So that's a good one. I wouldn't argue with that. But I think that we often try to, well, we don't try to, but we unconsciously or subconsciously think of the romance genre that we're familiar with and courtship that we're familiar with in our culture and the reasons why people marry in our culture. And then we sort of project those things back onto these biblical stories. And I think sometimes that leads us actually to miss the love story that's present there in the Bible as we're searching for our kind of Western romance, novel kinds of love story elements. So that was almost a harangue against love stories in the Bible. I don't mean that there aren't love stories in the Bible, but
I guess I'm inclined to pick the story of Ruth. But it's so different from our normal romantic one because here she appeals to a sense of responsibility. You are the one, see? And he says, wait a minute, there's someone else who stands in line first. Let me check with him.
Yeah.
But it's, as people have said about that story of Ruth, there are no villains in the book of Ruth. No villains. Even when you have this guy who could have taken over the right to become the Goel, you're just hoping that the guy will say no. See, and so when he says no,
he fulfills what we would want from the story.
Yeah.
There, so,
see, so it's really quite amazing. Well, as a means of getting at this, what sin might have done, let's take a look at the story of the patriarchs and look at it perhaps from a male perspective and then from a female perspective, okay? What kind of love stories do we see in Abraham's life? Looking at it from the male perspective.
I'm looking at my two Old Testament colleagues.
Waiting for us to give the answer.
Waiting for you to give me the answer.
Okay, let me just ask a question, Paul. You've read your Bible. What does the Bible say about how Abraham and Sarah were drawn to each other?
She was beautiful. That's not what you're looking for, though, no. Is it?
In fact, she's his half-sister.
Yes.
Which means that in a later era, she would have been disqualified.
Right.
My point is, there is no story that tells about how...
Right.
Yeah.
They looked at each other across the fire.
We could maybe
imply
something which we can see from the rest of the story, and that is most likely that they were dreaming of following God's call and leaving their place of dwelling. And we see quite a bit of that later on in their lives.
Yeah.
So they had something like in common, you know, some type of adventure to follow God's plan and go into the unknown.
Yeah. And they were obviously clearly bonded. Mm-hmm. Now, the other story, if we look at it from the woman's side, Sarah actually is the one who made the suggestion that Abraham take Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only when Hagar began to make fun of Isaac that things really began to fall apart. See? So, again, that is a far cry from our understanding of a love story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sense of responsibility. Sarah says, I can't give you a male heir. I will give you this one. And there is very little indication in the story of that Abraham did the wrong thing. In fact, the story implies that he was doing the right thing according to the customs of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was inclined to send Hagar away, God had to intervene and say, no, that's not appropriate. See?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really quite a story. Now, the next patriarch that's involved with things like this is Isaac. Now, is that at all like a real love story? A romantic love story?
She's brought to him as a stranger, someone from his extended family.
But she was a good match because she was a lady of initiative and action. And
deception.
Yes. Isaac was more of a quiet man.
Yeah.
Interesting things happen in their lives. Because of
and it's very interesting. It says he was comforted after his
mm-hmm.
mother's death.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he had no choice. Turn it all over to Eleazar, and he goes and brings back this woman, and she goes willingly. So, but it's, again, the romantic element, you know, where they look across each other by the fire see the spark in
right.
it. Now, it just doesn't happen. Okay.
I would also say she grew up in Laban's home.
There is a family impulse there.
Yes.
When
Laban was the brother.
Son was born, and they called him cheat,
mm-hmm.
he came by it honestly. That cheating stuff was in the genes and chromosomes. Now, let's take that one. If you could take the sons of Isaac, Esau and Jacob. This is where the love story stuff, it's there, but it falls apart with great vigor and enthusiasm.
Mm.
Which was Jacob's favorite wife?
Well, as far as we know, Rachel was, and you promised that we'll look at these things from different perspectives. And, you know, it breaks my heart to read that competition between the two sisters. And in fact, I'm wondering, were they desperate for the husband's attention and so on? And, you know, that it's just pathetic to see.
There is no overt argument against polygamy in Genesis, but mm-hmm. It's very modern in a sense. You just read the story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here they were naming the kids after the status of the battle. One little kid was named Victory Over My Sister. Can you imagine the tension in a home?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, come here, Victory Over My Sister. Just, terrible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jacob goes to meet Esau, he puts his favorite wife at the back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very deadly, and I think that, again, it's an amazing way of saying if you want to have true happiness, you make a commitment to one person and you stay with it.
See? Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you find there. Now, let's jump to the New Testament here before time runs out. We may come back. Wedding of Cana. What does Jesus tell us about weddings?
Well, he's present at a wedding celebration. He apparently wasn't the sort of person that avoided these kinds of celebrations. He wasn't opposed to marriage or opposed to love, but is present there and even works in such a way that the celebration can be, how shall I say it, can be fuller, last for longer. And so I think that does tell us something about God's attitude toward
weddings. Do you think that most Western Adventists would be willing to set aside a full week to celebrate a wedding of someone who's probably not even a relative? I don't know, may have been a close relative. A full week? That seems to me like a terrible waste of time.
It was a community event in those days, and the community took it seriously. So it affected more than just the family or the families from which the bride and the groom came.
Now, this is something which goes beyond the biblical text. But why is it that once you get in the early Christian era, marriage, love story between a human and between a male and a female falls into disrepute?
Yeah. Hmm.
To be holy seemed to be inconsistent. How did that happen? Are there passages in the New Testament that suggest that?
Some of what Paul wrote, I suppose, could be understood as negative to marriage. I think probably a larger part of it is just that the male-female relationship is, and the draw toward that erotic love is such a powerful force that I think it is frightening for people. It's difficult for people to control, and I think sometimes the human response is to try to totally disengage from that as a kind of protection against the potential danger. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what has happened over.
Could it also be the change of environment, Greco-Roman culture, and the influence of the philosophy of Plato now drawing a sharp line between things that are acceptable, that are formal, and then whatever is tied to the flesh? Because when you in the beginning asked the question about the favorite love story in the Bible, you know, I may surprise you. You know what I was deciding between? Song of Solomon on the one hand and Aquila and Priscilla on the other. Mm. Because I really admire them, you know. They must have loved each other, traveling together, working together, always acting together, and so on. To me, it's a fine example what love life is in practical terms.
Yeah. When we come to the New Testament, I remember one, I asked a church historian once about where you would find the admonition of Ecclesiastes to enjoy life with the wife that the Lord has given you. 7 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he thought about it. He says, in church history, it just doesn't happen. Now, our time is up. Next time, we're going to talk about the promise of his return. Thank you, Stravko and Paul, for your help. My thanks to Chad Offerhauer, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For the good word, I'm Alden Thompson.
Been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.